Galia. Text number 1. Shri Shuka Vacha. Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam. Krishna Krishna Hina Vibhu. Tasya Vishuddhim Anvicham. Sarpam Tam Udavashaya. Shri Shuka Vacha. Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam. Krishna Krishna Hina Vibhu. Tasya Visuddhim Anvichan. Sarpam Tam Udavashaya. Shri Shuka Vacha. Vilokya Dushitam Krishnam. Krishna Krishna Hina Vibhu. Tasya Vishuddhim Anvichan. Sarpam Tam Udavashaya. Shri Shuka Vacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Vilokya, seeing, Dushitam, contaminated, Krishnam, the river Yamuna, Krishnaha, Lord Shri Krishna, Krishnahina, by the black serpent, Vibhu, the Almighty Lord, Tasya, of the river, Vishuddhim, the purification, Anvichan, desiring, Sarpam, serpent, Tam, that, Udavashaya, sent away. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, by the disciples of Divine Grace Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami said, Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the Yamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, desired to purify the river, and thus the Lord banished him from it.
Omagyantimirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yutaha padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानो सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांच कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Very happy and honored to be amidst all of you all here again today. So today we are discussing a very, very sweet and a very, very special pastime of Krishna, which is the subduing of Kaliya. Through this story, as we are going to discuss in the next 45 minutes or so, we will be going in depth on the Kaliya Leela. At the end of this whole discussion, you might realize that you don't know Kaliya Leela at all. And you'll also understand, or rather appreciate, the fact that the whole pastime has such amazing lessons and such amazing insights to teach us for our lives. The entire Krishna Leela, all the pastimes of Krishna have various levels of depths, only if you really explore them in a very deep way. So today we will discuss this whole pastime of Kaliya from the point of how there are two factors here in Vrindavan that are playing. Kaliya represents envy, and the Vrajavasis, the Gopas, and all the other Vrajavasis, they represents love. So here is a story of envy. What happens when envy meets love? That's what this whole story is about, in essence. So the story begins with one day Krishna going to the forest along with his friends, along with the cows, without Balramji. So Balramji that particular day does not go, because it happens to be his birthday. And his mother Rohini, she retains Balramji so that she wants to give him a special bath. It's called a Shanti bath. So Balramji doesn't go. So the reason Balramji doesn't go gets unfolded much later. Because if Balramji did go, this pastime wouldn't take place in the way it took place. So whatever happens in Krishna Leela, there is always reason behind why it happens. In our lives, many of the things that happen don't really necessarily have reasons, deeper reasons behind it, you know. Just our destiny many times. But in Krishna Leela, whatever happens, even when Krishna smiles, there is a solid reason why Krishna smiles. Krishna raises his hand. There is a solid reason why he raises his hand. I mean, for us, Krishna smiling and doesn't smile, it doesn't make any difference to us. But when we see Krishna Leela through the eyes of the Acharyas, there is so much insight in it. So this pastime takes place one day after Gopashtami. That means now Krishna is in charge for the bigger cows. Till now he was taking care of the calves. From now onwards he is taking care of the big cows. And this pastime happens just after Gopashtami. So this was a summer time, and it was extremely hot in Vrindavan. I mean, if you go to Vrindavan now during summers, you understand what it means. Summers can be excruciatingly hot. The boys and the cows, they were feeling very thirsty. So they have been trekking, they have been walking into the forest of Vrindavan for quite some time now. And way ahead of them, they see the Yamuna River. In fact, this is not exactly the Yamuna River, but this is a lake that is connected to the Yamuna River. It's a huge lake. So as soon as the boys and the cows, they see the glistening waters of this Yamuna River, this lake connected to the Yamuna River, they run towards it. And Shukadeva Goswami explains that ignoring Krishna, leaving Krishna behind, they run towards the lake. And they felt, the boys and the cows, they felt that lake is going to quench our thirst. That lake is going to provide us coolness, comfort, and so many things. The cows, in Sanskrit, the cow is called as go. But in Sanskrit, the word go also means senses. Go means cows, go also means senses. And the lake towards which the cows are running, towards which the boys are running, it is considered to be Vishadushitaha. Vishadushita means it is contaminated by poison. It is a poisoned lake. And why are these people running? Why are the cows and why are the boys running? Because there is a particular word that Shukadeva Goswami uses, which is known as Trishnartha. The word Trishna means hankering. The word Krishna means attraction. And the word Trishna means hankering. Very similar. One letter difference. But there is a world of difference actually in the two. So it is explained that the boys and the cows, they are running away from Krishna towards Trishna. They are running away from Krishna towards sense gratification. Because, just try to imagine the scene. Krishna is there with them. But they are not consulting Krishna. They are not bothering about what Krishna wants. As soon as they saw that lake, as soon as they saw the water, they ran towards the water thinking that that water is going to quench our thirst. This is the nature of the material world. We seek to experience pleasure, to experience comforts. But the moment you seek pleasure, what you experience is pain. Kadam Ganan Maharaj gives this very wonderful experience of his in his younger days, when he, much before he became a devotee, he had saved a huge amount of money to go to the Hawaii Islands to have fun, you know. And when he reached there, excited about the possibility of really enjoying the beach, he ran into the beach, finally reached Hawaii Islands. The sand was burning hot. So he said, I can't stand on the sand. He's running towards the water, thinking I'll jump into the water, be cool inside. Yeah. And he was just going to jump into the water. That time, the lifeguard stopped him. Sharks inside, you can't jump in. You know, no swimming allowed. So he was so bewildered. You can't stand on the land because it's so hot. You can't jump into the water because sharks are there. It can't. And he was thinking, what do I do now? I paid so much money, I spent so much to come over here. So he said, let me sit under some tree, you know, at least some shade is there below the tree. So he went and sat under the tree. And as soon as he sat, he realized all over the scorpions, you know. You can't sit under a tree which has scorpions around, right? He was so frustrated. And his understanding was, this is the nature of the material world. Everything that promises you pleasure, it actually ends up in being sources of misery. So here, the word visha means poison. So there are two words in Sanskrit. Vish, which means poison, and vishai, which means things of sense gratification. So the acharyas explain, between vish and vishai, which is more dangerous? They explain that actually the word vishai is more dangerous because vish only kills the body. But vishai, objects of sense gratification, kill the desire of the soul to practice spiritual life. So, here, all the boys and the cows, when they ran towards the hospital, towards the lake, when they ran towards the lake, they jumped into the lake, excited that this lake is going to satisfy our thirst, Trishna. Without understanding that their hankering, what they're hankering for, the excitement they're hankering for is with them. Krishna is with them. All of us are exactly like these boys many times. We have a bead bag in our hand. But we feel that the bead bag is not going to give me satisfaction. Something else. As soon as I drop the bead bag, there are many other things that can give me excitement, satisfaction in life. You know, we drop Krishna and run to something else. So, as soon as the boys and the cows drank the water, all of them fell dead. Instantly they fell dead. By the time Krishna reached over there and he saw all his friends and all the cows, they were lying dead. So, he did something very interesting. Krishna, he just glanced at them. Just by glancing at them, all of them got up again. Just got back their lives again. So this explains the power of Krishna's glance. It's explained, so when the children got up, they were completely bewildered, you know, they didn't understand how did they revive, how did they come back to life. One boy, he said, during the name-giving ceremony, Garagacharya, he had predicted that this child will save you from many dangers. So, when the boys were talking about how this child will save you from many dangers, the Acharyas explained, what is the danger that Krishna will save us from? The greatest danger in the material world is not the danger of losing your life. The greatest danger in the material world is the danger of forgetting Krishna. So, when these boys and the cows died, essentially they had forgotten Krishna. And when Krishna revived them back, he revived not just their bodies, but their consciousness of being conscious of Krishna, of being connected to Krishna. So the boys, they were very happy thinking that, you know, Krishna is empowered by Narayan to save us. You know, the Vrajavasis don't really understand that Krishna is Narayan. You know. Krishna is the source of Narayan. So in different instances in Krishna Leela, we find the power of different aspects of Krishna being revealed. We find in Putana Leela, the power of Krishna's mouth. Sucked away the life air and sucked away, all the poison killed Putana. In Shakatasur Leela, we find the power of Krishna's feet. Just one hit, and the whole cart demon is just broke into pieces. And here we find the power of Krishna's glance. Trinavarta Leela, we found power of Krishna's hands. He's held his neck and has strangled him. So, this particular verse that we just spoke about is the first verse in this particular Leela. Shukadeva Goswami, he makes a very interesting comparison. In Sanskrit, if the same word is repeated multiple times, it's considered to be a defect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he pointed out the defects of Kesava Kashmiri's poetry, one of the defects that he pointed out was, you repeated one word two times, in one sentence. But here, if you study this particular shloka, Shukadeva Goswami is repeating one word three times. Krishnaha, Krishnam, Krishnaha, Krishnahina. But it's not a defect, because Shukadeva Goswami is referring to three different people with the same word. Krishnam indicates Yamuna River. Krishnaha indicates Lord Shri Krishna. And Krishnahina indicates Kaliya, the snake. Yamuna is black in color. Therefore, she is called as Krishna. Because she constantly associates with Krishna. Krishna has bath in her. Krishna enters into the lake, in the river Yamuna. So, Yamuna is so absorbed in Krishna that she has got the color of Krishna. Draupadi is also called as Krishna. And she has the Shamvarna, the color of Krishna also. Because she is constantly absorbed in Krishna. Even Arjuna is called as Krishna many times. Because he is so absorbed in Krishna that, you know, he is given the name Krishna. Here the Yamuna River is called Krishna. And then Kaliya is also called as Krishna because he is black in color. And black also represents envy. But interestingly, Shukadeva Goswami here calls Kaliya as Krishnahina. That means the one who is without Krishna. Except for the color, he has nothing else in common with Krishna. Black color represents Krishna, it also represents envy. So Kaliya, so essentially, here in this particular verse, we find Yamuna also is called Krishna and Kaliya also is called as Krishnahina. What does it really show us? It shows us that who you are determines who you associate with, whom you connect with very intimately. In the Chanakya Niti, there is a very interesting verse about association with great souls. Very relevant to the Hare Krishna movement. This verse says, that gamyate di mrigendra mandire labhyate kari kapola mauktikam jambukshare gatam cha prapyate vatsa puccha khara charma khandam. This verse essentially it says that gamyate di mrigendra mandire. Gamyate means if you walk into a den of a lion, an abode of a lion, mriga indra mandir, it's a very poetic way of saying lion's cave, you know. When you walk into a lion's cave, it's very dangerous, naturally. You know, you may not come back alive if the lion happens to be there inside, you know. But what is the possibility what you may get in that cave? It says, labhyate kari kapola mauktikam. It is explained that one in a thousand male elephants in their skull, in their head, they have a jewel. They develop a jewel in their head. Very, very, very rare. One in a few thousand elephants develop a jewel. And they explain, lions keep killing elephants, you know, once in a while. So if you go to the abode of a lion, it's very dangerous, very risky, but what you may get is something very valuable. You may get that jewel that is there on the head of an elephant. And then the verse continues saying that jambukshare gatam cha prapyate. If you go to the abode of a fox, jambu, you know, fox, no danger at all, no risk at all. But what do you get over there? You know, it says, vatsa puccha, tail of a calf, khara charma, skin of a donkey. That's all you'll get. Nothing substantial, basically. So, essentially what this verse says is that if you associate with great people, great souls, you may get something very valuable. But you may lose also many things. You can lose your hair, you know, potentially. If people come to the Hare Krishna movement, there is a lot to lose in one sense, you know. Your eating habits, your lifestyle, this will go, that will go, so many things will go. But what you may get is something very valuable. You may actually get Krishna Prem, which is the most valuable jewel. But if you go into the den of a fox, I'm not saying what den of a fox really means to us. So many places you may go, you have nothing to lose. No change of lifestyle, no change of anything, nothing to lose. But what you will get, what's a puccha, tail of a calf, khara charma, skin of a donkey, nothing valuable in essence. So, this verse, this particular Leela, it begins with the revival of all these boys. It is explained that this lake, the Yamuna River, it ends up in this small lake, rather big lake actually, and this lake was captured by a snake named Kaliya, and the snake was so poisonous that the entire water of this particular lake was completely poisoned. It was so much poisoned that it had become hot, boiling hot. It was so hot, the waters were so hot that the fumes of these waters would just evaporate in the air. And the birds would fly on top of the lake, they would fall down dead. All the greenery, all the surrounding plants and trees, all of them are dead. And naturally the fishes inside the lake, all of them were dead. And with practically all this, so inside this lake, Kaliya had created a palace of his own. Kaliya was a mystic yogi. He knew a particular type of siddhi which is known as Jalastambha. So using this Jalastambha siddhi, Kaliya had created a palace of his own inside the lake. And the palace was made up of water. Can you imagine? Inside the lake, he had made a palace made up of water. Very interesting type of siddhi, you know. So, according to the Harivamsha, this lake, the Kaliya lake, was about one yojana wide. That means about 8 miles wide. And this is situated on the southern side of the Yamuna River. So, when Kaliya, he was, you know, completely polluting this lake and disturbing this whole environment, Lord Krishna decided now he wants to deal with this environmental crisis. But Krishna had a very interesting way of dealing with the environmental crisis. He said, the environmental crisis, this pollution that is happening on the lake, if I get rid of the pollution, the problem won't be solved. I have to remove the contamination in the heart of Kaliya, which is the cause of the pollution. He said, I'm going to go to the root of the problem. Many years back, in India, there is one very prominent environmentalist. Her name is Menaka Gandhi. I don't know if you all heard of her. So she one time met one of our leaders, and she was just kind of having a conversation with him, asking them, what is ISKCON doing for cleaning the environment? What is ISKCON doing for, you know, helping with pollution? And this devotee gave a very interesting answer. You know what he said? He said, we are cleaning the ecology of the heart. Because if you clean the external environment, you know, in India now there is this whole Swachh Bharat Abhiyan, you know, this whole endeavor to clean up India. It's a very complicated endeavor, you know, because we are trying to clean up India without cleaning up hearts of Indians. So you may clean up the country, but unless you clean up the heart of the people who are staying in the country will still remain dirty. So essentially, what Krishna was planning to do here is not clean the environment of the lake. He was cleaning up the environment of the person who is poisoning the lake. So with that in mind, Krishna decided, now it's time for action. And interestingly, as I was saying, that this whole lake was contaminated. All the surrounding areas, practically everything was dead. All the plants were dead. All the trees were dead. All the animals were dead. Except one tree. There was one Kadamba tree that was alive, very much alive, and flourishing in the midst of such a negative environment. You know why? There's a history behind that. Many years back, Garuda, the bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, he happened to come and sit on this particular tree, and he got the celestial nectar from the heavenly planets. And he sat on the tree for a few seconds, few minutes literally, and he drank a little few drops of the nectar from that pot. And while he was sitting on the tree and drinking that few drops of nectar, one or two drops fell on the tree. And because those one or two drops fell on the tree survived. No matter how much poison was around him, no matter how much envy was around him, he didn't get affected. All of us are just like this tree in a highly envious environment, highly negative environment. Melbourne, Australia. Not necessarily the people around you are the purest of pure people, you know. Right now in the temple you might find all devotees are, you know, aspiring to be pure devotees at least, you know. But when you go outside, you're just alone in a highly envious environment. If you're working in an organization, you may be the only devotee in the entire organization. You're potentially like living in a Kaliya civilization, you know. Everybody else is envious and you are like one Kadamba tree surviving, you know. And the question is, will you survive? Most people don't survive. And then eventually just wither away, you know, and become like all other. Why did this particular tree survive? That gives us inspiration how we can survive in a highly negative environment. The only hope for this tree was that he got this few moments of association with a pure devotee. And the few drops of nectar that fell from the mouth of a pure devotee made him survive for such a long period of time. Srila Prabhupada once, all of us know about this. When Srila Prabhupada went to Moscow, he went only once to Moscow. He spent 3 days in Moscow. And in those 3 days, the first day he spent with one professor, and it was just a useless endeavor. Prabhupada realized that this guy is not going to become a devotee in any way, you know. So then Srila Prabhupada told his disciples, find somebody, find anybody, I want to preach. And his disciples found two people, one Indian and one Russian, you know. And they got them to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada downloaded the entire Veda base on them, you know, in 2 days. Practically preached to them like anything, intensely. At the end of 2 days, Prabhupada went. But these two people, one of them, in fact, really became so inspired by Prabhupada's teachings and what Prabhupada shared with him, that he actually began preaching the Hare Krishna. The whole Hare Krishna movement began by this one person getting Prabhupada's association. Prabhupada once transiting from Japan to America, and he happened to spend about 3 or 4 hours in the Fiji Islands. In the airport of the Fiji Island, Prabhupada caught one boy and preached to him. 3 hours. And those 3 hours of preaching that Prabhupada did to this boy started the Hare Krishna temple in Fiji. So essentially, what Garuda did to the Kadamba tree, Prabhupada did to so many other people, right? Few moments of association of a pure devotee and few drops of nectar falling from that pure devotee's mouth. In the case of this Kadamba tree, there was literal nectar that fell from Garuda's mouth. But in the case of, you know, many other people who got Prabhupada's association, the nectar that fell from Prabhupada's mouth is Krishna Gata, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes. But in both cases, essentially, the result is same. The result is that in a highly envious environment, in a highly negative environment, people survived. All of us are exactly in the same position, same situation in our lives. We're trying to survive in a highly negative environment, in a highly envious environment. And the hope is still the same. The few drops of nectar that fall from the mouth of pure devotees that come once in a while. And those few drops of nectar can help us survive in such highly envious environments. Krishna, now he was getting ready to get rid of this poisonous situation. So Krishna, he was looking here and there and thinking, how do I do it? That's when he saw this Kadamba tree. He climbed up the Kadamba tree. So Garuda, he knew that Krishna is going to perform a pastime later. And he knew that he needs one tree at least. So he put nectar on this one tree, you know, assisted in Krishna's pastime for the future. What seems to be a shabby work of Garuda, not really a shabby work. When devotees, even if they do something shabby, it's not really shabby. It has some leela of Krishna connected to it in future. When Krishna climbed up the Kadamba tree, he climbed right on the top of the tree. And Krishna, standing on top of the tree, looking at the Kaliya lake in front, he tightened his belt. He tightened his hairband, preparing himself for the jump. Generally, Krishna doesn't tighten his belt when he fights demons. He doesn't tighten his belt with all demons. But if he does tighten his belt, you understand that this is a powerful demon. Simple demons, you know, he really doesn't have to put effort. When Putana came, he really didn't put any effort in tightening his belt and all that. He just closed his eyes. He finished her off. You know. But when it came to Kaliya, he actually tightened his belt. Which means that Krishna was really preparing for an intense fight. So then Krishna jumped into the lake. So when Krishna jumped into the lake, the whole lake became highly agitated because of the power of Krishna's jump. All the snakes in the lake, they became highly agitated because they understood that there is a trespasser who has come. Interestingly, the force of Krishna's jump was so intense that it actually created waves on the shore. It created huge waves. Probably if somebody was having a surfing boat over there, they could have done some surfing also. Just the lake just swelled up suddenly. And it's explained that the power of Krishna's jump was so intense that the waters of the lake went up to about 400 hands in height. Went up so high. The interesting thing is, in the Vedic culture, the measurements also is done respectfully. They didn't say 400 feet high. These are 400 hands high, you know. In the Vedic culture, you don't use feet for anything. Using feet is considered disrespectful. Very interesting. 400 hands high, but. And it is explained that Krishna, when he jumped into the lake, he was so heavy. When Mother Yashoda carries Krishna, he is lighter than a feather. But when Krishna jumped into that lake, he was heavier than the whole universe practically. It's such a huge impact. Krishna does not have to go through weight loss programs, yeah, to reduce his weight. And he doesn't have to go through very intense eating and all to increase his weight. Just by his desire, he can just increase his weight and decrease his weight just by desiring it. So, when Krishna entered into the lake, all the snakes, especially Kaliya, he felt extremely agitated. When Krishna consciousness enters anywhere, the people who are envious get agitated. Here is Krishna literally entering into the Kaliya lake and Kaliya is getting agitated. Whose lake it is? Yamuna belongs to Krishna. Kaliya is a trespasser and he is considering Krishna to be a trespasser now. This is a problem in today's world. We are temporary people wanting permanent residence. Everybody wants permanent residency, you know, whether in a country, whether in a house. Everybody wants permanent. So Kaliya thought he is permanent resident. He didn't realize he is a trespasser. It is Krishna's property, right? All of us in this material world, wherever we are, everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna says, Aham sarvasa prabho matas sarvam pravartate. Everything belongs to him. But unfortunately, we claim it as our own, just out of ignorance. So wherever Krishna consciousness enters, there the envious people consider Krishna consciousness to be a threat. There was a time when in San Francisco, when the Rath Yatra had just begun, there was a very interesting story that happened. There was a man who was very, very envious of the devotees. So every day devotees would go on Harinam Sankirtan. And this man was so envious of the devotees that he would throw rotten tomatoes at them. And this man had a vegetable shop. So he would select all the rotten tomatoes and keep aside, you know, because he knew that devotees would come on Harinam at a particular time. And as soon as the devotees start coming, Hare Krishna, you start throwing tomatoes, you know. And this guy would really have fun throwing rotten tomatoes at devotees. But the devotee is very compassionate. So though they would get hit by tomatoes, they would go and give him one cookie, prasad, you know. This guy would eat the cookie and throw tomato also. So he continued eating cookies and throwing tomatoes every day. One particular day, the devotee forgot to give him cookies. He went and asked them, where is my cookie today? They gave him. Then he realized, these people are not so bad. Let me not throw tomatoes at them. Then he stopped throwing, you know. And after a few days, he kind of joined them on one Sankirtan. So he was very happy and inspired. Then over a period of time, he became so convinced that these people are doing something good. Then when the next year's Rath Yatra happened, for the Khichdi, he sponsored all the tomatoes. Speaking of the power of prasad. So when Krishna consciousness enters anywhere, people just get generally very, you know, insecure and agitated, especially the neighborhood, you know. Wherever the Hare Krishna temple is there, the neighbors have a lot of problems. This gets so agitated basically. So when Kaliya saw Krishna entering, he was very, very highly agitated by this whole thing. And he began to look out for the trespasser. And at that point of time, he saw that Krishna had entered and Krishna was swimming around. And Krishna was just absolutely casual, cool about it, enjoying himself, swimming around in the lake, unaffected by the poison of the lake, unaffected that there's such a powerful demon over here inside. And interestingly, two people, two parties saw Krishna at the same time. The boys, the cows were outside the lake, they saw Krishna. And Kalia was within the lake, he saw Krishna. When the cows and the boys, they saw Krishna, they were totally mesmerized. Can you imagine? Krishna inside the lake, completely wet. His hair is wet, his body is wet, glistening with these waters of the Yamuna River. He was looking extremely beautiful. So the boys and the cows, they were extremely attracted towards Krishna. There was a lot of love that was pouring out from their heart, just looking at Krishna in that lake. And Kalia, when he saw the same Krishna, unlimited amount of envy started pouring out from his heart. He saw the same Krishna, he had a lot of problems. And he couldn't see the beauty of Krishna at all. This is the difference between when love looks at the same object, and when you look at the same object with envy, you look at it from totally two different perspectives. When you look at somebody with love, that person can become the source of your inspiration. When you look at somebody with envy, that person can be the source of your disturbance. The same person, you know. Interestingly, when you look at devotees also, it's the same thing. You can look at a devotee and think that this person is the source of my inspiration, and you can learn so much from that person. But if somebody is doing better than you, and look at the person out of envy, then you can see that that person is the source of my disturbance. And I can get highly agitated as soon as that person enters. These are perspectives of thinking. Kalia, when he saw Krishna swimming around like that, he jumped on him and bit him on his chest. He bit him on Krishna's chest. Because that envy just couldn't be contained. It just burst out. In the meanwhile, what had happened was, all the gopas and the gopis in Vrindavan, by this time they had come to know that something is going wrong in the Kalia lake. So all the Vrajavasis, they started running out from their houses, running towards the Kalia lake. They realized Krishna is going to do something. Something is going to happen. They were very worried about Krishna. They wanted to protect Krishna. They all ran out of their houses. When they ran out of their houses, now, just try to understand logically, this lake is a 8 mile long lake. 8 miles is a lot, right? How do you find exactly where in those 8 miles Krishna is there? You can't use binoculars and see, and you can't just find out like that. So the Vrajavasis had a very interesting way of finding out where Krishna is. You know what was that way? They would just follow the footsteps of Krishna. Wherever Krishna walked, his footprint would just be printed on that earth. And interestingly, the footprint of Krishna was distinct, because it had all these 16 beautiful marks on it. And wherever Krishna's footprint was imprinted on the earth, that section of the earth would shine golden. So, of course, the interesting thing is, why did Krishna leave his footprints on the earth? What was the basis of Krishna not wearing slippers? When Krishna was given charge for the bigger cows, just before the Gopashtami day, Mother Yashoda told Krishna that now you are going given charge of the bigger cows. I want to give you footwear, because you're going to go deeper into the forest. You need footwear to protect your feet from thorns and pebbles and all that. Krishna, he said, I will wear footwear on one condition. All my cows also should have shoes. And Mother Yashoda did a rough calculation. 9 lakh cows, 900,000 cows into 4, you know. It's very complicated to make 36,100,000 footwear, you know. So Mother Yashoda says, impossible. Krishna says, I'll also not wear, you know. So he never wore shoes. And the cows were so grateful to him that he sacrificed his comfort for their sake. That all the cows of Vrindavan, they decided to do something together. They went around the whole forest path and crushed every pebble, every thorn, every stone on the pathway. Crushed it and made it into fine powder. And therefore that area came to be known as Raman Reti. Reti means sand, and Raman means pleasing sand. So because Krishna took so much care of the cows and was so concerned about their for them, The cow decided to reciprocate. This is Vrindavan. Sensitivity. And interestingly, when Krishna would walk in the forest, you can imagine 9 lakh cows are there, and then thousands and thousands of gopas, his friends also there, and they have their own cows also. So it's a huge quantity of people. Yeah? And if you walk on a beach and 20 people are walking with you, it's impossible to find your footwear, your footprint. Right? How was Krishna's footprint still visible in spite of so many lakhs and thousands and practically hundreds of thousands of people walking along with him? Very simple. The cows of Vrindavan and the boys, all the gopas, they were very conscious not to step on the footprint of Krishna. Can you imagine? So many people being conscious of the same thing. This is Vrindavan. This is the mood of Vrindavan. The mood of Vrindavan is a mood of sensitivity. The mood of Vrindavan is a mood of respect. Tadiya means anything connected to the Lord becomes worshipable. The paraphernalia of the Lord becomes worshipable. The devotees of the Lord become worshipable. The footwear of the Lord becomes worshipable. The footprint of the Lord becomes worshipable. Anything connected to Krishna becomes worshipable forever. And therefore, the cows and the boys, they never stepped on Krishna's footprint. Therefore, the footprint of Krishna would be preserved on the soils of Vrindavan. And the gopas and the gopis, when they were now trying to find Krishna, they had a very simple way of finding. They just had to follow Krishna's footprint. And they, like detectives, they started following Krishna's footprint and they reached the Kaliya lake. And it's explained that as the gopas and the gopis, they were walking towards the Kaliya lake, towards the place where this whole scene was happening, the environment began to change. The demigods, they wanted to make the whole thing exciting. I mean, I'm sure all of you would have seen movies, you know, especially if you see Bollywood movies. There's a lot of music that plays effect, you know. Just before a fight scene, you already know the fight scene is going to happen because the music starts playing in a certain way, you know. And while fighting also, there is a certain type of music that really adds to the excitement. And if somebody slaps another person without any music, it's not so intense. But if somebody slaps another person with music, it really sounds intense, right? So the demigods, they realize that something is going to happen over there in Vrindavan, you know, in the Kaliya lake. So they started already building up the tempo, you know. So it is explained that there were earthquakes and there were meteors falling from the skies. And the bodies of the Vrajavasis, there were different symptoms that were manifesting on the bodies of the Vrajavasis. You know, different limbs trembling. And all these symptoms, it started creating a certain amount of anxiousness in all the gopas and the gopis. And naturally, with all this anxiousness, they didn't know what's going to happen. So, by this time, what had happened was, In the Kaliya lake, Kaliya had actually captured Krishna. So he had coiled around Krishna very tightly, and Krishna was in the bind, the coils of Kaliya very, very intensely. And it's explained that for almost one muhurta, which is almost 48 minutes, Krishna was bound by Kaliya's coils. In this whole scene, when the Rajavasis reached over there, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the gopas, the gopis, they were totally bewildered. Can you imagine, as soon as they reached there, what do they see? Such a huge snake, a thousand-headed snake, and in the coils of these thousand-headed snakes is this tiny little boy, the person whom they love the most, completely helpless. So all of them are going crazy. They were just going mad looking at Krishna in such situation. Mother Yashoda started running towards the lake, trying to, you know, Nanda Maharaj was trying to pull her back. And people are just going crazy. So much emotions coming out of their hearts. The only one person was smiling, and that was Balaramji. It is explained, Madhavo Bala. It is explained, Balaramji, he is the Adi Guru. He is the original spiritual master. And therefore, the spiritual master has understanding, knowledge. One of the problems with knowledge is that Once you have knowledge, you can't enjoy the pastime. Because Balaramji had knowledge of the pastime, he couldn't enjoy it. He was just thinking, what is the problem? I know what's going to happen next, you know. Balaramji already knew what's going to happen. Therefore, he just couldn't enjoy the pastime. The way the Vrajvasis were enjoying, the way the Vrajvasis were like, into it really, you know. This is one of the problems in knowledge. You know, all of us, in one sense, we are knowledgeable to some extent. We know our next Krishna is going to dance on Kaliya's head. So what? So we have kind of lost the excitement of what's really going to happen. But the Vrajavasis, Krishna, using his Yogamaya potency, he hides their knowledge. And because he hides their knowledge, every time a particular leela is happening, they are so excited and so much into the leela. And that is the mood in which we should hear Krishna Katha. When we hear Krishna Katha, when we participate in Krishna Katha, we shouldn't be hearing in the understanding that, I know already what is going to happen. I mean, you know, when you watch a movie or read a novel, if you know the climax, if you know the end, there's no excitement left, you know, in reading it. But when you read the Krishna Katha, when you hear Krishna Katha, the way in which we should absorb and hear is as if we don't know what's going to happen. And in that mood, we can really absorb and participate in the leela to the best possible way. So, Balaramji was just smiling, you know, standing over there, you know, and all the Vrajavasis, they stopped Mother Yashoda and all of them going. And in the meanwhile, Krishna, he had been waiting. Now, this one muhurta, this 48 minutes that Krishna was waiting in the coils of Kaliya, why was he waiting in the coils of Kaliya? He was waiting for it to become houseful. You know? He was waiting for all the Vrajavasis to come because he wanted to give a performance. You know, Kaliya was thinking that I have captured him. Just see how he's in my control. Krishna was thinking he's a fool. You know, I'm not under his control. I'm just waiting for my people to come. You know, Krishna wanted to give a performance that the entire Vrindavan is going to remember forever. There are these two leelas, the Govardhan leela and this particular Kaliya Daman leela, where the entire Vrindavan gets to witness it together. Most of the pastimes of Krishna, not everyone gets to witness simultaneously. Either the Gopas get to witness them, or the Gopis get to witness them, or the parents get to witness them, the elders get to witness them. Very, very rare is a pastime where everybody gets to witness them. And this is one of them. And Krishna wanted this to be like a sarvajanik, you know, this is like a common pastime for everyone. So he was just waiting for everyone to be present. And then once he took the attendance, everyone's here. He said, showtime, you know. And then Krishna just squeezed himself. He just reduced himself a little bit. And Kaliya lost his grip. And suddenly Krishna just got out of Kaliya's coils. And Kaliya was thinking, what happened? All this while I had full control. Now where did he go? Essentially, this is Krishna Leela in action. The whole understanding is that for most people in this world, they feel that they have Krishna under their grip. They can plan so well that everything is under their control. And just when you think everything is under your control, Krishna does something to make you understand that you have nothing in your control. This is Krishna Leela. You know? All our lives, we see it happening all the time. Just when we think that we have full control of Krishna. Krishna means Krishna's energies. Krishna means the time factor. Just when we think that we have full control. And just when we think that everything is as per our plan. Krishna slips away. Something goes wrong. You know. And then we're wondering, we lost complete control of it. Suddenly, all of a sudden. Kaliya was so angry that he lost Krishna suddenly that his nostrils started flaring up. It is explained, Sukadeva Goswami explains that Kaliya's nostrils were like a cooking vessel in which poison was cooking. You know, a huge cooking vessel. Fumes were coming out from Kaliya's nostrils. And he was, from his eyes, he was glaring at Krishna. So Kaliya, he began to stare at Krishna, glare at Krishna, and began to chase Krishna. And it's explained that Krishna was so agile, so flexible, and so fast that Kaliya just couldn't catch him. This is the transcendental agility of the Lord. Krishna can trick and change situations in our life just like this. Most of us in our lives, we are exactly in the same situation that Kaliya is. We will not be as envious as Kaliya, but we do have the mindset of thinking that things will work according to my plan. And we do have the mindset to desire that things should work according to my plan. Whether we are devotees or not, somewhere down the mind, we have this Kaliya mindset where we are convinced that I want to have everything in my grip. And I know so many people in this world who are so much, if things go wrong, don't go as per your plan, they get so highly disturbed. Because somehow, we do not have the flexibility to change our mind according to Krishna's plans. We don't have the flexibility to change our desires according to the way Krishna, through his time factor, changes the course of our life. Pure devotees of the Lord, they are highly flexible and to function according to Krishna's desire. So Krishna, at this point of time, he decided, now it's time to have fun. So as Kaliya was chasing behind him, Krishna was dodging him, at some point Krishna decided, now it's time to begin the show. He jumped up, he put his legs on Kaliya's shoulders and jumped up on the head of Kaliya. It's explained that one of the names of Krishna, he's considered to be the original dancer, the original artist, Gaura Nataraj, the original dancer. And Krishna decided to show an exhibition of his expertise in dancing. And Krishna jumped on the head of Kaliya again and began to push the heads of Kaliya with his feet. Crush the heads of Kaliya with his feet. If somebody does not bow down voluntarily, Krishna will make that person bow down forcibly. Krishna is expert in that. There was a man in Italy. This man, his name was Antonio. He very often came across devotees trying to sell books to him, you know. So he was highly disturbed by these devotees, you know, constantly asking him to buy books and all that. One day he decided, I'm going to teach these people a lesson. So one devotee approached him. He just pulled the book from the devotee and ran away without paying anything, you know, without giving any money. And he ran and reached back home. And he threw the book in one corner of his house. And he sat on his sofa. As soon as he sat, he got a call from his mother. His mother said, your father is hospitalized, he has a heart attack. Please come immediately. This man got up and he was running, you know, to the hospital. And as he was running to the hospital, he was on his way to the hospital, he got a call from his girlfriend, who told him that I am leaving you. So his father got a heart attack, now he got a heart attack also. And when he reached the hospital, by the time he reached the hospital, he had another shock waiting for him. His mother, who had called him sometime back, after calling him, she fell down from the stairs and her teeth went into her lips. So next bed, her mother was admitted. You know. Father admitted, mother admitted, girlfriend left him. You know. This man was in high pressure, so much anxiety, and he had no idea how to deal with this anxiety. He said, now I have to go and take some drugs to deal with this pressure. So he went, Italy, it is very easy to get drugs at that point of time. And he knew every drugstore, he knew every place where you get drugs easily. That day, for the first time in his life, he went around and searched every person who would sell drugs. Nowhere drugs are available. This man got highly frustrated. He had no idea now why drugs are not available today, you know. Father got a heart attack. Mother, you know, admitted, girlfriend left him, no drugs available. he went home highly frustrated. And in that highly frustrated condition, when he went home and sat on his sofa, his eyes fell on that book that he had thrown. He went and picked up the book. The title of the book was Laws of Nature. This man, when he read the title, he felt very inspired to read it. He read the book cover to cover. And this man was totally convinced that this book is sensible. Makes perfect sense. And he actually became a devotee eventually. The thing is, in the Krishna, in the form of irresistible time, makes a person who is extremely proud bend his head. Here, Kaliya was extremely proud, not wanting to bend voluntarily. And therefore, when Kaliya was not ready to bend voluntarily, Krishna bent his head forcibly. And Krishna began to demonstrate his artistic skill dancing on the heads of Kaliya. It's explained that the heads of Kaliya were moving continuously. The heads of Kaliya were slippery. Can you imagine? The skin of a snake is quite slippery, right? What a dance floor. Moving constantly. A slippery dance floor. But when Krishna danced, he didn't miss even one step. Every step to perfection and time to better than any artist in the world. Can you imagine, you know, if you put soap on this floor and in the Chata Kirtan. I'm sure you wouldn't want to, you know, you wouldn't think it is a choreographed dance, right? You know, everybody dancing nicely and systematically. I mean, it's just very difficult. And Krishna was just doing that. Krishna was dancing on a dance floor that was moving, that was slippery. And the most interesting part of the dance floor was that Kaliya was a special snake. On every head of Kaliya, there was a special diamond. There was a special stone. The snakes that are really poisonous, really dangerous, have a stone on their head, have a rare jewel on their head. On every head of Kaliya was this diamond. Lighted dance floor. Can you imagine? So Krishna was dancing so blissfully. And as Krishna was dancing, he started playing his flute also. And as Krishna was dancing, playing his flute, all the Gandharvas, the Apsaras, the Kinnaras, all of them joined. And they started performing. They started playing musical instruments. They started singing. They started, you know, participating in this whole enthusiastic event. For the whole world, it was enthusiastic. For all the Vrajavasis who were watching, they were excited. The gopis, they could see Krishna without any shyness, without any shame. The gopas, they were just so blissful that our friend is dancing so well. One gopa is saying, I only taught him to dance, and they were just enjoying themselves like anything, you know. The only person who was suffering was the one on whom it was happening, you know. Kaliya was in crisis. Kaliya was in a mess. Practically, Krishna's feet, when they were hitting Kaliya's heads, they were literally crushing his bones, crushing his, practically every inch of his body was getting so bruised and so hurt. Krishna's feet are softer than a rose and harder than a thunderbolt, depending on whom it falls on. When Krishna's feet touches Mother Yashoda, Krishna's feet are soft like butter, literally. Softer than a rose. When the same Krishna's feet falls on Kaliya's head, it seemed like a thunderbolt was striking every head of Kaliya. Interestingly, when we chant the holy names, when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is explained that Krishna is dancing on our tongue. If you look at our tongue, the tongue also shaped like a snake, you know. Slippery, shaped like a snake, moving around all the time, you know. So when we chant Krishna's holy names, Krishna is actually dancing on our tongue. And when Krishna dances on Kaliya's heads, the first thing that has started coming out from Kaliya was all the poison that was there in his heart. Every head that Krishna was pounding on Poison was spilling out from his mouth. All the poison was coming out. So practically, as Krishna was dancing on every head of Kaliya, all the poison within his body was coming out. As Krishna dances on our tongues, as we chant the holy names of the Lord, all the anarthas, the negativity, the envy within our heart, all the anarthas are coming out. So in one sense, Kaliya Leela is happening every day in the morning in our own lives. You know. So in one sense, we are all part of Krishna's Kaliya Leela. So in one sense, Kaliya is, you know, very much integral part of our lives. And we have so much envy in our heart, we have so much poison in our heart, we have so much negativity in our heart, so many anarthas in our heart. And we need Krishna to dance on our tongues intensely. And it's not going to be an easy experience. It's a painful experience. Who said chanting Hare Krishna is chant and be happy? You know? So this is one man who went to a temple, to an ISKCON temple, and for the first time he went during the japa session, you know, and he saw the devotees were really intensely chanting, you know, some were like struggling, some were, you know, shaking their bodies like anything, some were shaking their head like anything. This man, he really got bewildered when he went to the, you know, to a ISKCON temple during the japa session. He went and asked some devotee, "You all say chant and be happy. It doesn't seem anybody is happy over here." You know? And this devotee, he gave a very interesting answer. This devotee said, "That's our advertisement technique." There's actually a word in between. It's chant, struggle and be happy. You know? So right now what you're seeing is a struggle phase. But eventually the be happy phase will come. But the struggle phase is quite a lot. It's quite sometimes it can last a whole life. You know. But chant, struggle, and then be happy eventually. You know. So right now what Kaliya is going through is a struggle phase. I mean, intense struggle. Krishna is dancing on his head. Practically every bone of his body is breaking. He's just going crazy with the pain that he is going through. And now all the poison in his body had come out. Now after the poison came out, blood started coming out. He was dying. All the energy that he had, all the power that he had was finished. He had nothing left to be proud of. And as the blood started coming out, and as he was just on the verge of dying, his wives, the Nagapatnis, Kaliya's wives, all of them came in the front. And they began to look at the Lord and pray to the Lord. The Nagapatnis, Kaliya's wives, were serious devotees. They were very, very serious devotees of Krishna. But unfortunately, their husband was just not interested at all in Krishna consciousness. The Kaliya's wives, they preached to Kaliya a lot. They told him so much about Krishna's glories, but he was just not bothered at all. And now, so when Kaliya was getting beaten up, the wives all, and they didn't come in the front at that time. Let him get beaten up a little bit. So the wives understood that the only way this man is going to change, this Kaliya is going to change, is if he gets some real good thrashing, you know. So the wives were hiding behind when he was getting beaten up. And now when they saw his face, they saw there was a little trace of humility in it. And the moment they saw a little trace of humility in it, they said, "This is the time to come in the front and save his life." They came because they realized at this time if we save him, it's a good chance he'll become a devotee. Kaliya Leela is a very interesting pastime because that's the pastime that all of us are most intimately connected with. One time in our temple, we had a devotee who was working in an organization, a government organization, very high post. And his boss, he was telling him to sign a particular paper for which the organization will get a huge amount of money if he just signs that paper. So this man, he knew it's wrong. So he came one of our leaders and he said, "You know, my boss is just forcing me to sign. I have to sign, but I don't want to sign. What do I do?" And this devotee, he told him, go and take shelter of Krishna and Krishna will give you the right guidance. Don't worry. So this devotee, he went, he's saying, how do I take shelter of Krishna? How do I help this man? So he went to the gift shop and he happened to see a card, a postcard, you know, like a greeting card, on which the front part of the greeting card was Krishna dancing on Kaliya's head, that picture, that painting. So he took that greeting card, and inside that he wrote like, you know, some nice message, and he gave it to his boss the next day. And 1 week later, exactly 1 week after this incident, this devotee came back to this, this man, he came back to this devotee and he said, miracle has happened. And he said, what miracle happened? He said, my boss, in 1 week, I gave him this greeting card of Krishna dancing on Kaliya's head. In 1 week, he got transferred to a place known as Nagpur. And this devotee was saying, just see, Krishna can just... Nagpur means a place of snakes. So Krishna Leela can happen in any way, potentially. So when Kaliya's wives, they saw that this Kaliya was becoming humble, his pride was going away, his wife said, this is the time to intervene. They came in front of Krishna and they told Krishna, my dear Lord, please forgive him. He has made his mistake and he has realized his mistake now. Please forgive him. And they offered great amount of prayers, worshipping Krishna and glorifying Krishna. And at this point, when the wives of Kaliya prayed to the Lord, instantly Krishna jumped down from Kaliya's heads. And he jumped down and he looked at Kaliya. And Kaliya was half dead, exhausted, totally crushed. And then Kaliya looked at Krishna and he started offering prayers. And interestingly, if you study Kaliya's prayers, Kaliya is exactly repeating what his wife said. Verbatim, literally. Kaliya had never in his life ever prayed. He had no idea how to pray also, you know. And whatever he learned to pray to Krishna, he learned from his wives. Many times, when a person is in the peak of his career, in the person is in the peak of his pride, peak of his talents, peak of his skills, it's sometimes very easy to become arrogant. It's very easy to feel that you are in control, you are in charge. And in those times, it is very difficult to preach to a person. When you want to preach to such people, the best policy is wait. You know why? Because when you wait, time will change the climate of his life. Yeah. And when time changes things, suddenly something will happen and this person will get totally bewildered. And that is the time, instead of leaving that person, you should come into the life of that person. Don't try to preach to a person who is highly proud and arrogant. Wait for some time. And as soon as time factor comes and bewilders him totally and he is totally confused, that time enter into that person's life. He will become a devotee. Here, the Nagapatnis intervened at the right time in the life of Kaliya. And he got completely transformed and he became a devotee of Krishna. And then after Kaliya offered his prayers, Lord Krishna told Kaliya that he should never ever come back to the Yamuna river. He should leave from here and go far away. Kaliya, he said, my dear Lord, if I go away from here, as soon as I go away from this lake, Garuda, your snake carrier will come and, you know, kill me. Krishna said, don't worry. Garuda will never touch you from now onwards. Because on your head, because Krishna has danced on his head, there's permanent tilak mark on Kaliya's head. You know? Kaliya is the only devotee who doesn't have to wear tilak every day. Krishna has put permanent tilak on his head. So Krishna told Kaliya that because the marks of my footprint are there etched on your head, Garuda won't touch you. And then, from that moment onwards, Kaliya left Vrindavan and he went all the way to Ramanaka Islands, which is today known as the Fiji Islands. And it explained that even today, Kaliya resides over there. And of course, now there's no question of him poisoning some lake. He is he is absorbed in Krishna Leela, he is absorbed in prayers to Krishna, he is absorbed in chanting the holy names of Krishna, and he lives a very peaceful life with his wives. That ends the Kaliya Leela. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.